Zels. It's been a long wait. It's been 6 months of waiting. We finally have Test Rugby back. And it's really a cool weekend of rugby. Obviously, it's the Boca, box by 10, and lots more at Loftus against the Italians. We've got the All Blacks against the French selection 15. And we've got England in Argentina. We've got Wales in Japan in the humidity and the heat. We've got the British and Irish Alliance touring. And we've got Scotland playing the Maori All Blacks. And they're playing them in New Zealand. So it'll be an interesting game, that. But our main attention, obviously, South Africa. De Boca, Rassie Erasmus's first test squad of the season. Willy Leroux will get on for his 99th test. Vincent Chatuka is the only new cap in that 23, which says everything about the squad depth they've built. Is it the kind of 23 you thought he would put out for that first test? And then how do you see it evolving into the second test, regardless of the result?
Mate, anybody who says they know what team Rassie Erasmus is going to pick or the team they expect him to pick is telling a white lie, mate. I've got no idea what Rassie's going to do from 1 week to the next. I think he's picked a great team. It's a lovely match day squad. There are options everywhere. We've created an environment where we've got so much depth. And I'm excited to see it go. I'm specifically excited to see some of the old dogs come back after these guys have put the Barbarians through the mill. You've got Andre Pollard's back in the mix. Even Etzebeth is back in the mix. And I think like a guy like Andre with Mornay van den Berg is going to be a great performance to watch, you know, to see how they gel, how it works as a tactical combination. You've got the veteran experience in midfield, and you've got the electric blokes out wide. Interesting that Garza's back to start at fullback. Long awaited, anticipated return. Glad to see him back in the mix. And then just our options up front and what's on the bench. I mean, you've got a guy like Arkeus Naiman coming off the bench. It's insane. Just the quality we've got is just, it's almost should be illegal. And to see Wilco go at three, I actually can't wait because it'll be, I think, his first run out since that Bulls loss at Leinster. So exciting times.
Well, whenever you see Wilco low at three, you have to get excited. So people are saying that the ticket prices are too expensive. This is the world champions. This is the box. If Beyonce was coming to town, or Jay-Z, whoever else, you'd be paying that money to watch them. You're never going to see a generation of Springbok like this possibly ever again. And a lot of them are in the tail end of their careers. Pay for it. Pay for it just to go see Wilco scrum, man.
Mate, well, we'll find out on the weekend, won't we? I mean, if it is too expensive, the stadium will be half empty. And if it isn't, it'll be full. And we'll get the answer.
Yeah, and I think
we'll talk.
The people will talk. And I think obviously South African rugby would listen. You know, so, but we also need to understand, and I'm not defending South African rugby or saying, you know, suck it up. This is what a price of a test match ticket costs. But they are competing in terms of international commercial terms.
Exactly.
And they are the double world champions, back to back, the number one team in the world. And there's got to be a value that is attached to that. Corporate South Africa, come out and buy those tickets and give it to the folks of South Africa.
Exactly.
And if you can't be at the ground, be at the Shebeen, be at the pub, be in your lounge.
Spot on.
Support the box. Wear the box by 10. The Macron, Kieran Zell's box by 10 shirts. They should be available in the next couple of weeks. You'll see them flash across the screen in white, green, and black. And the black one's there for when we go to New Zealand and we play the All Blacks on the 6th of September and the 30th of September. You've got to wear the black one with the box by 10 on that one. Someone asked me the other day, why only box by 10 against the Barbarians? We've told the story over and over. We kind of have to paraphrase and keep on repeating it. What it symbolizes is the box never lose. Doesn't matter what happens the week beforehand. Our public are so fanatical, so obsessed with the box. And through my 33 years of writing about rugby, every time I've kind of tried to explain, listen here, we could be in trouble. We lost 8 tests against the All Blacks in succession. I think we could struggle next week. What do you say? And the fans would say to me, box by 10, man, always. So that's how box by 10 came about. So it's symbolic of we win.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what happens a week before, we go out and we back the box. And the good thing under Rassie Erasmus and Jock Nienaber is you win 70% of the time. And last season, we lost 2 out of 13, and both of them by one single point. Looking at that Italian test match, Damian Willems, first test match since the 2023 World Cup final.
Insane.
People forget that he was out pretty much for the whole season,
yeah,
the international season. Struggled with some freakish injuries in the last year. Great to see him get a start. Fussy has done incredibly well since he's come into the mix. I think his breakthrough game obviously was against the All Blacks at Ellis Park last season. where Rassie picked him at fullback and let him play the whole 80. You can play the All Blacks, beat them at Ellis Park. Well, you kind of set up for the box setup. There's no second guessing whether the guy's got it, and he really has improved.
Yep.
So I think that 15 is a straight shootout between Fussy and Damien. Moving forward, Vili, my understanding is he'll get his 100th against Australia in Cape Town. I know Rassie says he's not one for sentiment, but he has in the past kind of looked at those kind of things and let a guy run out at his where he's from. You know, even though he's never played for the Stormers, it all started Boerland for Vili Leroux. He Salanthont, Paul Roos Gymnasium. He is a lad from the Western Cape, and his family's all down here. So that would be great for him to get his 100th against Australia, because you always know that's a gimme game. We always beat them in South Africa. So to be a great celebration.
You said Paul Roos there. It actually reminded me. I read a piece. I think Garen Lamley put it up on the South African. They did all the players by the schools that they're from. And there were only two players that were from the same school in that 23. It was Vili and Gaza. Paul Roos boy.
Paul Roos.
The rest are all from different schools.
Yeah, that's fantastic. It shows how wide the net has gone. Gone are the days of nine guys in the 23 from Grey College.
Yeah, exactly.
That was the 2007 kind of era, 2007 to 2010, where the Du Plessis brothers, Francis Steyn, that ilk, they all came out of Grey College. But looking at the box setup, I wrote a piece on Kia on the blog to say, to understand the strength of the Springbok setup at the moment is to see who's not playing. And I kind of just threw out a 15 that I would pick. And for those who haven't seen it, so I went with Fussy, obviously, at fullback, and Pimpy and Kane and Moody on the wings. Lukanya Arm, Andre the Giant in the centres, Sasha 10, Graham Williams 9. Now that test back line, I'd back to go play against anyone tomorrow if they all fit. Evan Roos, I went for, obviously, over there's Jean-Luc, but I went with Evan Roos. I'll always go with Evan Roos at 8. Peter Steph, Sia Khaleesi, Jean Klein, Salma Murat, Thomas Detoy. I like Robbies from the Bulls. He's not in the current mix, but he's played for South Africa. And then at Lucid, who did I go for at Lucid?
Gerard Steenkamp.
Gerard Steenkamp, who was brilliant last year. Now, that's fifth. Now, there's another 10 outside of that you could have picked to play there.
Yeah.
9 of those 15 are World Cup winners.
Yeah.
19 of the 23s picked to play Italy are World Cup winners. And what I do love about the start, and you can expand on that as well, Azals, is he didn't stuff around with the Barbarians setup. He picked what he felt was a team. There's 11 changes in the squad, but 5 changes from the starting 15. And for Italy, he has shown the Barbarians the utmost respect. And this is a test match in their approach. And he's shown Italy the same respect. It's not like he threw in 6-7 new caps and said, well, we're going to roll them either way. And I love that mentality. That is killer mentality.
Oh, big time. There is absolutely nothing sexy about that Springbok pack, with the exception of Vincent Chituka. I mean, Eskom at 6 and Jasper Visser back at 8. If you're Italy, you know exactly what's coming, mate. It looks like a sledgehammer and it feels like one. I think the box are going to go straight through the front door. And it's going to be sort of overtly physical. And if you think you can handle those two guys, then you've got Arhis Naiman, Franco Mostert, and Quagga Smith coming off the bench. So it's just, it's heavy, heavy armor that the box have got. They've got it in abundance. And like you said, I don't think Rusty's actually capable of picking a weak team, because he's got so many options in so many positions. You'd actually have to really work to be clever and find a team that's somebody could say, oh, well, you haven't gone for your strongest selections yet. You're experimenting. I mean, who would they take?
An interesting interview I saw him do when he said it's not a very he said it's, people think it's a conservative team. It's actually not. This was him thinking out loud. And he said, if anything's conservative, it's the bench. And I thought, if anything's explosive, it's that bench. Yeah. I mean, when you talk about Arhis Naiman, Franco Mostert, and Quagga Smith, Franco Mostert's engine can run for 160 minutes. Arhis Naiman, the most dynamic impact second rower in world rugby with those offloads, him against tired legs in the last 30 of a game. And then Quagga, whether he comes on from minute one or from minute 45, just adds such a dimension. That's explosiveness. And then you've got Bongi coming on to just kind of shore up that scrum after Malcolm. Geez. So I just look at those options that they've got. But credit to Rassie and Jacques. And let's keep on reinforcing the role that Jacques Nienaber played. Rassie's assistant in 2018, took over in 2000 and after the 2019 World Cup. Rassie's still director, still kind of overseeing the team dynamic, the strategy, but Jacques coaching them. They've built this depth from 2018. This isn't USC coaches and overseas coaches building depth for them.
Mm.
They've identified the kind of player they've wanted. They've been ruthless in axing players. Mm. They've also been honest in telling players what they need to do to get back in the mix. And the big thing is listen.
Mm.
There's only one boss there, and it's Rassie Erasmus.
Mm. I'm just thinking about that squad now. And you're talking about Rassie and his selections. A guy I think would have been nice to have in this game is Kanan Moody. Just because, you know, they've gone with that 6-2 split. Jesse had an absolute cracker last week and is the captain. But the one position where you kind of like, oh, how much depth do we have? Who are the guys? Is probably 13. And I think a guy like Kanan, for many people, is the guy they'd like to see slide into that role and be an option for us. It would have been nice to start seeing him. Maybe the plan is to start doing that from next week. But there's a guy I would probably, maybe you don't need a 6-2 split against Italy. You know, maybe you find a space for Kanan and try to get him on the field at some point at 13 and see what he can do. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Or he starts and you have an 8-0 split, because everyone said, guys, you guys didn't even mention Andre the Giant coming on at flank for the last 25 minutes. I must confess, because I was in the Qatar first class lounge munching my way through that second half.
That's the menu.
Enjoying some Jamesons and the odd beer. One stage I looked at him, I thought, Jesus, when's that guy going to get out of the ruck? He's so close to the ruck. Come on, get back to your position.
Get in the back.
Then it was brought to my attention. He is playing on the side of the scrum. This axe becomes so one-dimensional. He's in every ruck. It took me a good 5 minutes to realize that Oak was actually playing flank.
Yeah, and he deserves a lot of credit for that, mate. We've dubbed him the Prius because he's a hybrid player now. Fabulous. I love what Rossi's trying there. Yeah, I think it's awesome. It gives us lots of options. I think Andre's definitely got the size for that position. I don't know technically what his breakdown work looks like in comparison to an Ardie Sevilla, but great that we're messing around with that stuff. And we're definitely in people's heads. I mean, we had Razor name the All Black team. And when they asked him about Tupou Vahiu playing blindside flank, he said, look, I picked him there to give us some versatility. I don't really want to get into it because I don't want the storyline to be all about you-know-who. And so, like, right, he's in these guys' heads permanently now. Every selection is out of the box, dude. Are you copying the box? What's happening with the box? So, interesting.
Exactly. This whole thing that players must play more than one position. So, Rico Ioane, he's back on the wing. We're going to get to them a little bit later, but he's back on the wing. Well, I think he's his best position. He's a lethal finisher.
Yeah.
Like you said, Valle is on the, he's like a big flank and he's not such a big lock.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the 6-2, the revolution of 6-2. That Rassie did became the norm.
Yeah.
7-1 became something people like. And now people are looking to say, can we do an 8-0 split? How do you take a back and put it into the forwards?
Yeah.
And he's been the first again to do that in a game. So innovation all the time. You look our wonderful friends at The Breakdown. I know JK is in Italy. He's doing something with Vic Matfield now, a new show. But Jeff Wilson, Mills, and Justin Marshall. And what people forget, Mills, 100 test matches. Second after Richie McCaw to 100. Wilson, an incredible career for the All Blacks. 60 test matches, 44 tries, and he was playing cricket for New Zealand in the ODIs. He retired at 28 or 29 and went. And 2 months later was playing for New Zealand in an ODI international at Eden Park. So he was very talented as a rugby player. Remember him making his debut against Scotland at Edinburgh, scoring heaps of points. And I think there was something when he was a schoolboy. I think he scored 47 points in one game as a schoolboy. So, I mean, he could play. And then Justin Marshall, 81 tests and four as captain, I think in 97 when he led them in the UK. They are all consistently, and yeah, they may be playing to us. They may be playing to our audience because I know a lot of Oaks watch that from here. They're conceding like the world must be on red alert. They just keep on looking at the box. Mills says we set the standard.
Green alert, mate.
Wilson says just be warned, be seriously warned. It's all building till that 6th of September game against the All Blacks at Eden Park. But, I just think I love what we've done with the box setup in terms of what Rassie's done and his coaches, all his assistants in the selections is, you know, and Eddie Jones kept on saying, oh, when they lost 43-12 a couple of years ago, the B team, mate, there's no Springbok B team. I've always felt there was an A and a B team.
Definitely.
But right now, I don't know if there's an A and a B team. Yeah. That gap certainly has been narrowed. A guy like Peter Steph, there's no obvious replacement for him at the moment. Sasha Pollard, 6 of 1, half a dozen of the other. The midfield, equally the same. Probably Jesse and Damien would have the edge over whoever else is coming in, but not by much. Whoever you pick on the win, Chesney is a special talent, but you've got quality winners that you can pick. If you picked a Gaza or you picked a Fussy, you don't lose much with either one. Mm. And then same with our front rows and into the second row and that. So you would say there's no like-for-like really for Ach here. There's no like-for-like for Peter Steph. But for the rest, they pretty much kind of as a player makeup, it's there. And there's comfortably two players per position. And in a lot of the positions, there's three players now. I mean, that is utopia for any international coach. It's what Rassie said after winning the 2023 World Cup. If we're ever going to go and get three in a row, I've got to have 45 players who can start a World Cup final. And I think he's bloody close to that.
Yeah, I think he is. We've spoken about the depth at length. I mean, you've just got so many players in so many positions. Ntlabakanye and Nyetas at tight head prop, those two guys could start for most nations, if not all in the world. And if you went back a couple of eras in Springbok rugby, either of those two guys could potentially be the starting three. And then you've got Vincent Koch, you've got Thomas Du Toit, who can play tight head. Will Kolo is arguably the best scrummaging tight head in the world right now. And then you've got Francois Haber on ice on his way back. So it's just ridiculous. You spoke about having, you know, three players in every position. Apparently New Zealand are on Project 444, trying to get four players in every position. I'm just trying to find one in every position for the All Blacks at the moment, mate. We mentioned it this morning. This is today, the shoot day, is the anniversary of the try from the end of the world, mate. You were there in 1994 when the All Blacks last lost at Eden Park.
Yes, and before people say, were you there with Paul Rus? I wasn't
there in 1906. He's been everywhere.
I wasn't there in 1906, but I feel like I was there. I was fortunate to be living in New Zealand in 1994, to be at Eden Park on that day. Incredible tour from the French back in 1994. They'd gone to Canada on the way in, beaten Canada 34-31 in their first game, and then lost to Canada 18-16 in an official test. Arrived in New Zealand, obviously no fanfare, like even though these guys were icons of the game. I mean, all the big names were there. Lost a provincial game, went into the first test, complete underdogs, won 22-8 in Christchurch. Lost the midweek game against Hawke's Bay 30-25, and then went into the second test. Jono Lomo, it was his debut on the left wing. He was up against Intermac. The late Jono always says that was his toughest opponent. They knew that defensively there were going to be areas in terms of his defenseman alignment, which proved very telling in that last move of the game. But the All Blacks were playing for, I mean, they were battered in terms of losing a test match like that. They were under serious pressure and they were leading 20-16. They had the line out on their own 10-meter line. They won it. They secured the ball. All Stephen Bashoff had to do was belt it into touch, and that's the end of the game. He tried what we would think now is a 50-22. Philippe Saint-André got the ball, decided he would have a crack. He ran at Sean Fitzpatrick, but he ran in a way that he took the right wing John Kerwin out the game. And from there, I read a wonderful piece this morning. All the French players who were involved in that move talking about how it unfolded. And you know, that typical French mentality. And when it unfolded, they knew what they had to do. They had to get the ball out to near Lomu's side. And then Benazir had this incredible moment where he kind of held up the defense. He held up Walter Little, put Jono in two minds, and he got the ball back inside. And that split open the whole defense. Blair Larson was kind of chasing ghosts at that stage. Three passes down, Jean-Luc Sardinet, incredible try in the corner. Deleuve kicked the conversion, 23-20. They won the series. I mean, just mind-blowing how the French can turn it on and how they read that. And it was dubbed the try from the end of the other side of the earth, the try from the end of the world. End of the world. That was the 3rd of July. The 6th of August, the Boks played in the third and final test. Somehow these All Blacks picked themselves up and beat us in the first two tests in Dunedin and Wellington. 13-9, the infamous Johan Le Roux ear biting on Sean Fitzpatrick. So we went to Eden Park, 2-0 down, series gone. And I scored them 2-0. And Shane Howarth, who went on to play for the Maori All Blacks, the All Blacks and Wales, kicked 6 penalties. That 18-all draw is like one of 3 draws that they've had in the last 50 test matches. There's been 47 wins. Going back to that. So that month was quite a weird month for me to be in Auckland at Eden Park and to say, what's this aura about these All Blacks? at Eden Park. So, wow. Yeah, so I think that...
Mate, I just want to know, though. So, I mean, I know you were there, but it was 31 years ago. All this rugby information that you have in your head. Like, if I came to your house, I said, where's the peanut butter? Would you know where it is?
Apparently, I don't know where the car keys are this morning. No, look, if I'm passionate about something...
It sticks.
It sticks, and kind of, if you've seen something, you can't unsee it. Mm. And I would love, as a schoolboy, I'd always get the weekend August, the late sports final on a Sunday evening, especially in the cricket season. And I would just look at all the scorecards from the club cricket and the school's cricket. And I would kind of just, what caught my eye would be imprinted there. So
amazing.
If my dad would come to me and he'd say to me, I'd see Jeffries and LaRue played for Cape Town Cricket Club today. What happened? LaRue 10 for 22 in 9 overs. He came down. He should have played for South Africa. Jeffries took North for 9 in 3 overs. It's like, how do you have? Well, that's there. It's, I just remember.
Beautiful mind.
But then, something I'm not interested in, don't ask me anything. I wouldn't be able to tell you anything. It was the same when I was at school, mate. If there was a class I was interested in, I did well. If there one I wasn't interested in, I was hopeless. Okay, so I remember it just because it's kind of imprinted in my memory. I don't have to think twice about it.
Yeah.
And to see that, I mean, I've watched the highlights packages often, and every time it comes up, this anniversary of it, or France is playing New Zealand. But having been there, you just can't unsee it. You know, Archie Henderson, who was my mentor at the Argus. Archie, a wonderful man. One of the icons of sports editorship in South Africa. He said he was always asked, what did you think of Invictus, the movie? And he said, I enjoyed the real thing. and he said, I enjoyed Francois Pinault wearing the number 6, not Matt Damon. So it's that kind of thing to answer your question in a very elongated way. But yeah, just being there and remembering those moments. And it's like, I think that's what excites me so much about this current box setup is I have been around. I've seen some incredible Springbok moments. And then I've seen some incredibly, had to report on some incredibly low Springbok moments. And one of them being at Eden Park, 1997, Matthew Pearce was a young man commentating. He's doing radio that day. And he asked me to do the co-comments with him. Carl Dubisi was the coach. And I spoke to him about this, how it is. He said, how's it to be at Eden Park? As I said, it's like more like a funeral procession. It's not Ellis Park. It's not this intimidation and that. It's just like a slow march to your death, okay? He said, what do you mean? I said, like, we'll come out, we're all fired up. They walk out, basically. And it just starts building slowly. And they just kind of, you just know.
Pressure cooker.
It's going to end badly. So we started the game. We were 7-0 up quickly. I think then we were 14-7 up. The Monty kind of kicked the wind that was basically on its way back to South Africa, bounced, and he caught it, and he scored. And I remember being there, and then I had to write a piece for the Sunday Star Times, the New Zealand paper. And I wrote that it was an embarrassment being a South African in the press box watching this unfold. And Carl Du Plessis still said there were a lot of positives. How many teams have scored 35 points against the All Black? John Hart said, how could he say that? He was the All Black coach. We scored 55 against them. How could this not be your darkest day?
Yeah.
So the team flies out on the Sunday. I stay, my late folks were still alive in Auckland, and I fly out on the Monday, and the lovable Gavin Rich is at the Sydney airport, and he's telling me, like, he's texting me, look, where are you? Where are you? So, oh, I'm on my way to the business class lounge. Please, just be careful. James Dalton is looking for you. I'm like, James Dalton's looking for me. Says, yeah, he's not happy about what you wrote in the newspaper. I said, well, no, that you were embarrassed by them, and they were an embarrassment. And so he says, just be warned. Hang around people. Make sure you're not on your own. So protective of me, okay? So eventually I get in there, and there all the box are. And it's just, I think they weren't, there wasn't certainly no love for the media back then.
Yeah.
And I think it's a lot better now, but back then it was like, you were certainly seen as the enemy. And I walked in, and up to James Dalton, and he marched over to me. He goes, Markia Hines. Did you write that it felt like an embarrassment to be a South African in the press box watching the Springboks lose 55-55. So tensed up, I think, okay, here it comes in the business class lounge in Sydney. I said, I did indeed. He said, you know how embarrassing it was to be in the front row, bro. And he gave me a big squeeze, and it's like, Gav is like, thank God he hasn't been beaten up. So Good old Bullet. So, yeah.
Well, you mentioned Monty there. Obviously, Monty, the first box centurion, played 102 tests. This is our 102nd episode. And for our 100th episode, the boys from Stecco sent us this beautiful cake to celebrate the occasion. And they sent us this note, which I'm going to read to you now. It says, congratulations on reaching your incredible 100th podcast episode. What an epic milestone. This cake was charging up to its optimal level, but with all that Cape Town gloom, it took a little extra time to get to 100% capacity. Enjoy the sweet treat as you continue to power through the countless more episodes with your incredible insights. Here's to your next 100. Cheers, the Stecco team.
Well, thanks to the Stecco boys, and thanks to Sterling and Mike Sharman at Retroviral, who kind of introduced us to the Stecco boys. We appreciate that. I know that Sterling's looking at some nice competition options for us, so also stay tuned to that.
Nice.
Some nice goodies that are there. Not cheap. That's why that prize we gave away last year, last season, what was it, 45,000 Rand?
Yep.
For the winner in KZN, the one you offended, the English teacher you thought was using
never
chat.
Never use AI.
She chatted, but she didn't use chat. Okay. It's like I sent someone an email the other day that said, hey, are you using chat? No, I actually can speak. You know, on chat, it's like those people who use give you like one word, one line sentences. Now they send you 1,000 word hellos.
Yeah.
In conclusion. Looking at Loftus, Damien's comeback at fullback. I mean, Chesney's on fire. I think we kind of like seen that where he's going with that. This could be the closest to the backline that starts on the 6th of September in Auckland against the All Blacks, because everything's building to that particular game.
Like, he's got you right where he wants you, mate.
I don't see him not starting with Jesse and David Delandy. I can tell you that much.
Yeah,
You talk about where is there a potential vulnerability or a gap. And, you know, I'm reminded of when Simon Poitevin, the Australian flanker, was co-commentating in the Blues, 96-97, when they were the All Black side. And they were just thumping everyone. It was a Super Rugby match against New South Wales. And Poitevin was asked, they ran through the team sheet. And I think it was Greg Martin said, any weaknesses, Poitevin? And he said, mate, I've heard they're not so good in the kitchen. So if you look at every box position, you don't have it, but probably these oaks are good in the kitchen, certainly around the braai.
Yeah.
Scrum off. If there's a gap at the moment in South Africa for someone to just take hold, I think it's the number nine jersey.
That is a great call.
Reinach, feisty, but he's 34.
Yep.
Fuff, we're going to see in this season if he still kind of has a role to play. Jaden's been in and out. Ron Williams has been injured. And Klappies is there now, Morne van der Berg, who has been good without kind of owning it. That is the one position where I look and I say that there are better options globally than we have at the moment at nine.
But certainly in terms of them being an established commodity and like installed in the position right now. Like, we know Fuff, when he's at his best, is right up there. And we know Grant Williams, when he turns it on, is hard to stop. So it's just about them finding some form. In Kruppi's case, it's about getting some tape on this guy and seeing him play it in that arena. We've certainly got the talent there. We just want to see it click.
If you look at any form of expectation on that first test match, look, I'm no doubt South Africa will win the test match. They're too good to lose that test match. Unless they're down, even if they were down to 12 players, I'd still back them to win it, okay? 12 against 15. too good to lose at home and against an Italy side that's been brave on occasion, but has also taken the odd beating on occasion, especially away from home. Very similar to what we saw with Benetton in the URC. Beat the Lions, played brilliantly away from home, and took 56-5 against the Stormers in Cape Town the week after that. Yes, that little insert of the Stormers was brought to you by me.
Always fun to go in, mate.
There are 11 Cape Town ball players in the 23. And one Pretoria-born old boy. The expectation, what do you want to see in this game?
Mm.
Outside of the obvious win, though, from the box, again, building to the Rugby Championship.
Yeah, I think we have to be honest and say the Box are not going to lose to Italy in either of these tests. They're not going to lose to Georgia. So the margin of victory is how you're going to measure the performance, I suppose. I will say, as much as I don't think Italy have got a chance to win these games realistically, I'm a huge Gonzalo Quesada fan, and I think he is doing good things with Italy, and I think he does have plans specifically defensively and in terms of the way they control the game to do damage control. And it's going to be interesting to see how this Bok team navigates that and how they respond to that. And I think Gonzalo will tick it off as a very good result if Italy can stay within 15, 20 points of the Bok. I mean, that would be a significant result for them. And yeah, I think they're going to be difficult. You know, it's going to be a bit of a wrestle fest at times. I think once the Bok pack breaks Italy, then it'll open up. But I think Italy are going to try and hang in there, and you'll have some plans around how to do that. So I think the bookies have got the Bok to win this thing by, I don't know, 40 points or something. I think in that range after that massive win against the Barbarians is reasonable. And we also just have to remember that for a lot of these guys, obviously, it's the first test of the season for them, but some of these guys coming back from injury and some guys coming back from time off. So there may be a bit of ring rust early on, but I think we should see them stretch their legs in the second half and win comfortably.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the Bok, and just before we started the show, we did a quick glance back from 2018, first test match at home. So we looked at Rassie and Jacques, first game together, 2018, at home. They'd sent that kind of B-side to Washington, D.C., lost in the last minute to Wales. It's against England. A lot of fanfare around Rassie, and they were 24-3 down after 15 minutes. Came back and won that game spectacularly, I think 42-39, a three-pointer. Then outside of the World Cup years, where they don't play these mid-year tours, they played Australia in both matches and pumped them in both matches, which is just common fare in South Africa. It's seldom that an Australian team ever competes. While Robbie Deans was the exception, I think he got two wins here in a couple of seasons that he was in charge, or five seasons in charge of the Wallabies, which when you look back now, it's magnificent. Bloemfontein, yeah. And Durban that, yeah, he actually won. He also took a 60-pointer at Ellis Park. 63-8, Monty's last game, 102 tests.
I was there for that.
Carried off. Yeah, they were there.
The Jongi game.
How did it feel?
Oh, man, it was great. I can't tell you anything else about the game, but I was there.
And he tries his Jongi.
But he scored four, mate.
He scored four. Jongi Nokwe, eh?
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it's them Wales. And we're bullish. We're going to pump them 3-0 in that. Took Damian Willemse, 79th minute, to save our asses, 32-29. And then we lost that second test, 13-12. Anscombe, conversion from the corner. And then we were solid, I think 33-15 in Cape Town in taking the series. British and Irish Lions, obviously, we got Georgia for 40 minutes and 49. And then basically everyone had COVID. And we lost that first test against the Lions, came back and won the next two. And then we had Ireland. And it was a belter at Loftus. Looked like we were going to run away with the game, and it looked like they came back. Again, Ches and Colby magic. When James Lowe was brilliant to clear the ball inside, but Chesney had followed up. Big turning point in that game. Score. And then they kind of lost the next one in Durban and then built their season. And I think that's the realism, that we don't always particularly start well in our first. And it's the same for the All Blacks in New Zealand. If an All Black or a Bok team is going to be vulnerable, it's in that first test at home.
I agree with that.
That said, we'll win by 30 plus.
Well, exactly. That's how I felt last week. That's why I gave that narrow margin for victory. And then they just put 54-7 on those guys. And you're like, okay, maybe it doesn't count for this group of Boks. I don't know.
Yeah. Imagine if it had been dry in the afternoon.
Exactly.
It'd have been the first century.
Yeah, precisely, mate. So I think the Bok will win very comfortably. I've got them to win this thing 48-18, 30 points. They'll probably exceed that, but I'm going to go with that. 48-18 to the Bok.
Yeah, I had a 40. Funny you say 48-18. I had a 45-15.
No way.
So we are actually
aligned
on the 30-point margin.
Yeah.
Loftus is always an incredible venue to play at. I don't think there's torrential rain at this time of the year.
Yeah.
Not like in the URC when the Bulls played the Stormers.
Yeah.
The Stormers won. Yes, Yuri Mattea had a great game. Those who can't remember. Terrible conditions. Looked like it was somewhere in New Zealand that night. But yeah, I think what he knows exactly the team he's got in his mind for that Auckland test. It's all 23 going to be fit by the time they get there. I just like the combinations he's picked. And I mean, you speak to a lot of the players. Fassie did an interview the other day. Damian Willems did an interview. Sia Khaleesi has been consistent. That Rassie picks, by and large, he picks combinations and he creates an environment for a player to succeed, not to show up a player or to expose him. Outside of the Welsh test in Bloemfontein, we had to get rid of about 10 oaks.
Beautiful.
So my initial thing was, would like to have seen Ethan Hooker. But then Durban's the second test, and I'm sure Ethan Hooker's going to make his test debut at home.
Mm.
The sentiment is there with Russ. You may say, I don't really
care. He's a bulldog, mate. He's a softy.
He deep down, I go, come on, Frank. Frank. You're English, Frank. But Ethan Hooker, man, that's as much as we're excited about this first test, we are hugely excited about what's going to come.
Mm. Yeah, and but to your point, I love the fact that he's not throwing in Oaks in at the deep end just for the sake of it to be clever. He's got a plan for everybody. And that's on both sides of the coin, a plan for the youngster and a plan for the old guy, because Dugues has got massive values to add. He's done a huge job for South Africa, and there is the potential for him to get all the way to the next World Cup. Russie hasn't just closed the door on anything. He's saying, listen, boys, it's up for grabs. Everybody's going to earn their spot in that plane to Australia. So,
and do you think, like, because Russie says he doesn't tell the, he doesn't announce to a player you're in or you're out. He does it by a Google Doc that they all get.
Mm.
I think it's a Google that Evan Roos ever wants to open.
Not particularly, mate. Let's hope that changes soon, though.
I would like to. I think he's going to play Georgia.
Yeah.
So I think he'll play Jasper, and then Evan for Georgia, and then decide, is he in the mix for Australia at home?
Yeah.
Or Jean-Luc if he comes back. I think he'll play in the Georgia game. I think what you'll find is that there'll be an integration of players, like an Ethan Hooker in Durban at home. You'll see a Fussy potentially play at home, a Pimpy play at home. A lot of the KZN guys, I think, will play in that second test.
Mm.
And then Georgia will be one where he picks a very strong pack, but mixes and matches that kind of like back line. So shows Georgia their physicality, shows that respect to them. Mm. But yeah, and I mean, Jesse Creel, I thought he was outstanding as a captain against the Barbarians. The way he's embraced the role, he is just the ultimate. He's symbolic of where this team has come from 2018 to now. The ultimate team man. Let's not forget his role in 2019. Lucanio Am was the guy. Jesse got injured. Lucanio Am came through, had two great years. He was the talk of the world at 13. Jesse was didn't go away and sulk, didn't say that's the end of my international career. He hung in there. Yeah. And when Lucanio got injured and he got the gap, I mean, he's just been sensational. He's been the form 13 for me in World Rugby for a long, long time.
Yeah, Muscle Tech, amazing player in ridiculously good form. Doing well in Japan. You mentioned how many players we've got that come from the Japanese league. And Oaks mustn't forget, Jesse was there in 2015. So he's peddling his way to a fourth World Cup. And I mean, that's a massive achievement in and of itself.
And I remember that the iconic photo of Sonny Boy Williams pulling him up. Jesse Creel just shattered. 2018 at the final whistle. And Sonny Boy Williams was asked what he said to Jesse Creel, and he said, but for a kicker, were you pulling me up?
Beautiful.
That was a beautiful, beautiful moment, you know. So
thought he said, what protein shake are you using?
Yeah, well, he says that's what he said. But yeah, a wonderful moment. So Jesse Creel, to me, is just one of those unsung heroes. Eh?
Oh, yeah.
He's been there and thereabouts. He's 81 test matches.
Mate, for me, he's the Malcolm Marx of the back line, because he's timed it perfectly. He's going to play forever. He's going to go to 10 World Cups. Yeah. You know, he's just been around, but not at the front lines all the time.
And a big shout out to picking foreign-based players.
Yeah.
10 of the 23 are playing in Japan. Going to Japan has been financially lucrative to South African rugby. They don't have to pay these guys all year round. Mm. There's no player of national interest money that goes to them. Their clubs play them, and they obviously get paid to be on national contract. And they don't have the intensity that they have playing in Europe. We've got the formula down pat. Yep. New Zealand, let's hope they never wake up to that formula, because they've got five or six good ones playing in Japan that they're just not picking.
Yeah.
So Richie Mwanga being among them.
Yes.
We know the Boks are going to win. They're going to win. Well, you get up to Pretoria, you kind of wear your bull, Bokke Horens. He's screw Bokke. Just know it's always going to be Boks by 10 and more. Know the story behind the Boks by 10 and invest in those T-shirts when they do become available, courtesy of Macron. The All Blacks play France. Zell's massive, massive fan of this French team. And
let me name them for you.
Scott Robinson, yeah, and spell it as well.
Mate, you know, the All Blacks have...
Listen here, Brew, you don't call me mate, okay? Cousin.
In some regards, I feel like the All Blacks are a little bit like Ireland. Like, I think there's, for some reason, self-doubt seems to creep into those guys at the wrong moments. And with France in town, mate, and nobody talking up the French, and the All Blacks being very loud about how it's a disgrace they could send these useless French players to the land of the long white cloud, I think this game is going to be closer than people think. I don't think France are going to win, but I do think the All Blacks are going to be held to a lower margin of victory. I've got the All Blacks to win 35-13. It's a 22-point win for the hosts.
You know, bud, we've been looking at each other's notes. I've got 38-18, but they'll go away in the end. I think they'll win the next two quite comfortably.
Yeah,
this is the one unknown factor. What do you make of the All Black side?
I like it, mate. This is the team that Razor should have been picking from last year already. I wanted him to experiment with some guys. I wanted him to take some chances. I love that he's put Tupovai in the back row. I love that they found a lock because they need one. Billy Proctor, 13, is exciting, interesting selection. Rico Oni, for me, has always been a winger. Will Jordan is arguably the world's best fullback. He really is a lethal, lethal finisher. That backline is heat. And they've got some interesting combinations coming through. That Sami Penny Finau on the bench, potential blindside flanker with some discipline issues. You've got to love a guy like that. And then the South African, Du Plessis Kariffi. Very looking forward to him, seeing him get his test debut off the bench at open side and do some damage.
Well, any All Black pack, and we've been critical of the mongrel in the All Black pack for the last few years, post the Richie McCaw era. Any All Black pack that has a Du Plessis in it and a proper Dutchman, Fabian Holland. Boy who left Holland at 14 to go to Christchurch Boys High to want to play rugby. He's playing. He plays for the Highlanders. He's making his test debut starting. He is a beast just as a human specimen.
Yeah.
Finally, the All Blacks have found a lock and they had to go to Zealand to bring him to New Zealand.
I saw that.
So that was Scott Robinson, like from Zealand to New Zealand.
Yeah.
I like the look of that side.
Yeah.
I like the look of the eight. Also, he was in the original selection and that Artie Sevier has gone back to flank.
Yeah.
A lot of people even call them. I like that Barrett's there, not McKenzie at 10. I know.
You agreed.
Mahanga.
I prefer Bowden at fullback, but if you have to choose between him and Damien, I'll take Bowden at 10.
And Cam Rygaard is so much like US for me. I watched a couple of his highlights yesterday.
His English is a bit better.
Yeah. Delicious. But that athleticism, the ball he stole out of DuPont's hand to score in Paris, it's kind of like a US try.
Yeah.
So, and Cortes Rateme, Ratemes on the bench. It's a new breed of All Black coming through. I'm excited about that. Just see how their pack goes. Mm. Fletcher Newell, ahead of Tyrell Lomax. 81 minutes he played in that Super Rugby final for a prop. And he was getting stronger and stronger. Looks like an unlikely player. He looks a bit like Dill Johnson. a wonderful Dill who works for SRA Magazine. Unfazed by many things and just gets through 81 minutes. So we've got the All Blacks to win. We've got the Box to win. I've got the New Zealand Maori All Blacks to actually beat Scotland in a low-scoring game. When I say that's in differential, I've got the Wallabies to pump the Fiji, forget the score there. The Lions will get another 50-pointer against New South Wales. These matches are just about who's still staying fit. Apparently, Owen Farrell's coming in. They've lost Tomas Williams. They could potentially lose Elliot Daly. England, Argentina. Wouldn't be surprised if England beats them. Argentina always draw those kind of series one all at home, getting prepped for the rugby championship.
Yep.
And Ireland, Georgia. It should be a good 40 minutes for Georgia, but then Ireland a bit too strong after I got them to win. Those, if you really want to know about those games, go to the Money Man's page. He bets on everything on his Facebook page. I won't be betting on those games. I will be betting on the baby box to beat England.
Junior box to win Friday night against England, mate.
And you know what, eh? If we win that, then we're the under 20, not that game, but this tournament. We're under 20 world champions. We're the sevens world champions. And we are the test world champions. And that, in a nutshell, says why you're paying 4,000 rand a ticket to go watch the Springboks.